medium that left the
hard wet.
And what?
Left hard. And left hard.
Rode hard and put away wet. That's the freedom jeans.
Yeah.
We've been riding Nick hard and put him away wet. That's so wrong. Who's doing the intro?
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin to keep a sinful anastatism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Nick and Michael?
It's working.
Something's happening. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, I will.
So, welcome, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
I'm good.
Doing
I'm well.
Swell.
Yeah, swell. I'm commenting you out of the source code of the Freedom Fiends here for Jeremy, for a week, 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been drafted to go to Michigan, right?
Yes, I am.
Nick, what'd you say? You want to be on that night?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right.
There you go.
Freedom Fiends. We do, like, telephone calls to 100,000 people. It's actually telephone calls to each other and let 100,000 people listen on 32 radio stations and the internet. So,
NSA.
It's like being the NSA. Speaking of the NSA, I had an interesting, I may have outthought some people smarter than me tonight. So basically, here's a question. Like, let's say you were using some source code that you really wanted to use that was open source and not BIPCOT licensed, and you look through it and you know the new saying that, I forget who said it, it was one of those fake Freedom Fiends accounts on Twitter or Mark Edge burbling or something like that. And it was burbling. somebody said that if it's not licensed BIPCOT, it's fraud. I really like that. Probably not true, but I like it.
That sounds like something Travis would have said, so I'm gonna go with him.
So let's just say you found this like source code that was incredible, and you know, you really didn't want to reproduce it from scratch, and your team really didn't have the resources to, and you know, that's how open source goes. You grab stuff that people did and you improve it and slap a BIPCOT on it or whatever. So if you had some source code that you really wanted to use, but you found in it somewhere that there was something labeled public key and it was a 64-bit, you know, it was 64 letters and numbers in a row, which is, you know, one half of like, it's one half of a type of backdoor in a situation like this, or could be. It could just be that the people who made the code did it for auditing purposes and forgot to take it out. But it also could be a backdoor. So the the thing that some other people did when they ran into this code that we may or may not have found independently, we found the code and decided to, you know, zero it out, which means replace it with 64 zeros. You don't want to remove the line because it might make something break. So, you know, you replace it with 64 zeros. And then you like Google that long number and find out that other people who dealt with the same code came to the same conclusions and did the same thing. And then I had a thought, what if the public key, if whoever put it there anticipated that and figured that's what programmers would do, and the public key is actually supposed to be 64 zeros? I think that's possible. So,
oh man,
I think we're going to put a one in there somewhere. 0000001. That's what Bender says. Yeah. All right.
So, I don't know much about that stuff, but that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Basically, saying that it was set up to mess with people who would try to mess with it.
Maybe.
Like
they're thinking a few spaces, you know, moves ahead.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't that how the whole hacker game works anyway? People are always trying to outthink each other and trying to be two steps ahead. So that makes sense.
Yep.
So is this something that you're saying that you don't want to use, that you were planning on using, but now you don't want to use because of it? Or
I think I'm pretty comfortable using it if we throw a random one or a random letter from the alphabet somewhere randomly in it.
Gotcha.
It isn't like change the code or anything? Like, what does that do? It just doesn't have that backdoor anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. If it was a backdoor at all, it could have just been something for auditing the code put in by the people that made it. Sure. But they're mysterious people who can't be found. Sort of like Satoshi, but not Satoshi. Anyway, so what's on y'all's mind?
Well,
yes, you, sir. Next to the boy with the yak, you have a burning desire. Go ahead.
Well, I have
I hear crickets. Yeah, that's the thing about, you know, like, I think that, you know, the software that Brian made, Brian Gordon made Fiendbot 4000, which removes any silences more than a second and makes them into a half second. So if there's 8 seconds of silence, first of all, if it's over six, alarms go off at GCN, literally. And I will say again,
shock collars get activated.
Yes. And I will say again, I would have loved it when I was 15 or 17 or Nick's age. Nick's going to be 18 when Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
We're going to fire you then. You're no use to us once you're legal because we're lawbreakers. Well, I'll only be committing 2 felonies a day by accident if I'm not corrupting your morals. So,
weren't you supposed to be working on a replacement for him in the first place? Wasn't that what you were supposed to find another minor to corrupt?
Yeah, yeah. Open call. Minors who want. No, no. Kids are horrible. Kids are horrible except Nick, and he's going to be a man on Tuesday. So,
we'll young men who are interested in being chastised on national radio, please.
Yeah,
call.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Nick, we get the wrong group of people there, but you know.
I went down so many turns, I can't find my way back. I didn't leave breadcrumbs.
I don't even know what you started with either.
I said, well, let's see, you there next to the man with the yak, the boy with the yak. Yeah, anyway.
I think we were going to be, but I was going to say that, you know, you started talking about the crickets, and yes, well.
What I was going to say is that with our software that we use to auto edit this and make it better, it's possible that the crickets are just loud enough that it'll perceive that as not silence. And if we leave, like if we make a 5 second pause and sound stupid, it'll stay in because of the crickets.
Oh. Whoa.
I'm thinking 8 spaces ahead, even though I can't remember. My mind is in math and code right now, even though I don't code or do math, but I'm helping.
Shouldn't you have no problem thinking spaces ahead then if you're doing math?
Yeah. It's all good. 0000001. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, the crickets here is because, well, it's Long Island. It's August. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and it still feels like it's 80 plus degrees outside. So
yeah,
the crickets are everywhere. The windows have to be open because otherwise the dogs and I'd be like passing out here. But despite the heat, I had a good day today. Took my kids to the town pool. Which is, I remarked to somebody as pee-pee. I was sitting there going, you know, I complain about taxes all the time, especially property taxes, because it's horrible. But as I was sitting at the pool with my kids, I realized all I use the town for all the, like, they take over $8,000 a year for property taxes from me. And I use the garbage pickup and occasionally bring my kids to the pool. That's it.
Yeah.
That's and, you all know, they do for me.
It's funny because garbage, and you're a bad anarchist because you went to a public pool.
Yes.
Roads. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, man.
But, you know, a lot of times, like, that's one of the things that people, aside from roads in the military, one of the things that statists will state. Ooh, I like that. Statists are people who state stupid crap. One of the things they commonly, I've heard them actually, like, without the government, the streets would be piled high with trash. Check this out. I lived in Los Angeles County for about a decade. In Los Angeles County, which is one of the most state-intensive places in America, other than, like, I don't know, a national park when you're, you know, going to worship at Mount Rushmore or something, or maybe a prison. No, there's more freedom in a prison. Because you can get drugs in a prison. You probably can't openly do drugs at Mount Rushmore. But,
accepted.
Yeah, LA is, for our listeners in South Dakota, and we are on the radio there. Yeah. We are, actually. We're on. You can hear us on the radio at Mount Rushmore, actually.
Ooh.
We were thinking of sending someone who lives nearby to go and pretend to be a docent and hand out. This is how the Fiend the Homeless thing started. Was Neiman and I used to make a joke about getting little FM or AM radio receivers and having someone in a suit go to Mount Rushmore and meet people coming off a tour bus and hand them all one of these little radios during when we play there and say, this is, you know, to describe what you're looking at on Mount Rushmore to help you with the tour, like they have sometimes at tours, but it would be the Freedom Fiends. So in this place, Los Angeles, the city and county of one of the most status places in the world, although not as bad on guns as people say. People say California is horrible on guns. You can actually own them in California. You can barely own them in like Maryland or Connecticut or where else? New York City. So anyway, I'm dropping the plot here. In Los Angeles County, the garbage pickup is private, and it costs $30 a month. And at least when I lived there, and there's like three. I mean, it's not completely private, but there's three or four different companies that are approved by, you know, the county. If you live outside the town, I don't know what it is in the town. I never, you know, I was in an apartment there. I didn't pay it. But when we had a house out in the county, yeah, like, you know, you get a bill and you pay it. And it's, and you know what else? In Casper, Wyoming, I'm still paying a bill to the city. Like, I have a bill that's for water and trash and something else. I forget what it is. But yeah.
Out here, so, it's private too for trash.
Yeah.
Well, ours, we have
Allied
we have
Waste.
We, well, you got a yak in your pocket there.
I'm not wearing big enough pants for that, but there are private companies out here, but the town still charges us for it. We don't pay them. They have a monopoly thanks to the town. So they are essentially a town entity.
Los Angeles has a quadopoly. You have to pick from one of four, but that's still better than most, you know.
Yeah,
like, well, imagine if you got to pick from one of four police agencies that were kind of competing a little bit with each other.
That,
even if
that
they were government
lovely.
Agencies, you know, and like if their salary was actually dependent on how many customers they had, they would probably do a little more protective and serving and a little less shooting your dog and shooting you. And we're going to talk about the police shooting people when we get back from this trip to the market. Right? You guys got a story, right?
Oh, there's a story, all right.
Got
it. It's still a brewing.
Wine Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So we are back. We were talking trash before the break. And yeah. Michael, who has disappeared to go play with some hash or something, I think that's what he said. I don't know. Sounded like that. But mentioned we were going to talk more about cops shooting people, unfortunately. And apparently, I guess there's a whole lot of rioting going on up in Milwaukee right now. And there was, what was it, two nights ago now, I guess, somebody was shot by the cops again. Although, at least the initial story off this one seemed to be, you know, I don't know what the guy was actually harassed for in the first place, but everything else that's coming out seems to, you know, be that he pretty much was almost looking to get shot at that point because he had a gun. He refused to put it down when they told him to, and then he started running. So him getting shot over that does not seem very surprising at all. But the, I mean, it's getting blamed on the Black Lives Matter crowd, and I'm sure there's members of them there, but I don't know how much of this anymore is the actual group and how much of it is just agitators. I mean, what are we up to now? This is like the third or the third set of riots now, the major ones.
I think so.
Fourth. I don't even know anymore.
I'm forgetting the place in Missouri.
St. Louis, right?
Whatever that town's called.
Was it St. Louis?
St. Louis. It was.
Yeah. It was. Oh gosh, I'm gonna forget it now too.
No idea.
You know what? It seems like so long ago, but that was after the Mike. That was after the Mike Brown incident.
Right.
And then
it was a while ago, I guess. That was like,
well, it was last year,
two
right?
Years ago, wasn't it? Was it last
Maybe.
Year?
Maybe. I honestly, man, I have the most horrible concept of time these days.
Yeah, me too.
When you work you know how it is. Yeah, exactly. When you essentially work 7 days a week plus all the other stuff you add in, you know, like me who puts myself on fiend time all the time. I live on very little amounts of sleep. The days just blend together. I'm lucky I know where I am half the time. But so whatever that was last year, the year before, you know, there was the Baltimore riots after Freddie Gray. Well, actually, there's been more now, because then there was the one in there was the stuff in Dallas, and then there was the stuff in Louisiana. Oh, yeah. And it's happening more and more, and it's not. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's sad to see happening, because I mean, I don't know if you caught the videos that went along with that one article, but. There was, I mean, there's a bunch of people lit a gas station on fire.
Yeah.
Like one of the dumbest things you could possibly do. You know, I mean, if you're looking to blow up an entire neighborhood, there's a good plan. Yeah. You know, start with that. not the CVS that everybody was freaking out about in Baltimore. No, no, let's light a gas station on fire. There's some ingenuity for you. But
yeah, thousands they were like, of gallons of gasoline underground.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Like, yeah. So, but I mean, like this was. From what I've seen, at least so far, I mean, each one of these has escalated, obviously, and they've become more, you know, people are more hostile. But the videos that are coming out of Milwaukee right now, where, I mean, there was one that I watched where there was this woman who was shooting it from her, you could tell she was shooting it from her phone, but she was up in an apartment building, probably like two or three stories up. And she was shooting the video and watching this, like, mob of people running up and down the street, and anytime they saw a white person, somebody would scream, "There's another one, get him!" And they were just like, they were trying to drag people out of their cars, destroying their vehicles, whether they were in them or not. Like, any, like, just, I mean, the violence and the you know, a horrible aggression for, like, totally the wrong reasons and directed at the completely the wrong people was disgusting. There's not really too many, wow. I can't even think of words for it, but it's, and you hear these people chanting, like, they're all proud of themselves. And I don't know how. Gosh. I get that things have been bad in a lot of these cities and a lot of these places for a long time. And people feel like they've been oppressed as a group. Okay, but it's not a group that's oppressing you. You know, they're just like, one of them was this woman they were trying to drag out of her car. Like, not even, like, they're totally indiscriminate. As long as they saw white, that's all they cared about. And, wow. You know.
Bender's nightmare, zeros and ones everywhere. And I think I saw a two. It's not black and white, people. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where the heck
Bender's nightmare is in this code. I'm dreaming zeros and ones.
Well, on that note, we're going to go to the market.
Be around your houses on Sunday, people. This comes Sunday. Good news coming.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
So we were back here at the Freedom Fiends, and we were talking the riots and just horrible things going on in Milwaukee before the break. And Nick, you were saying you had some more you wanted to say on that.
Yeah, well, I've been away from the news for a little while, and I had no idea this was going on, but that's kind of crazy, and this is kind of I'm just surprised to see that there can be that much hatred in somebody to be able to go after them for their race, which is right, which is what they're supposed to be fighting against, right? In my opinion, or at least what they say. So I find it surprising that this is happening. And I guess I can see where it boiled up, and I think we could have been able to predict this sort of thing happening anyway. But I'm just kind of surprised that it's actually going on, that this kind of violence, that people are really capable of doing that in a group, and it shows that anarchism doesn't really just individualism, I guess, doesn't just apply to the state, right? It also applies to any really collective group. If you're coercing people and joining in on that kind of thing, you're falling into the trap of collectivism, and it's pretty disappointing.
Oh yeah. And, well, I mean, again, like I said, I caught a couple of the videos, but you can see that there's, just like any of these groups, there's a couple of people out there that you can see are, like, visibly almost crazed with their anger, and other people are kind of just going along for the ride, and they get sucked up in it, you know, and a lot of people, I don't, like... Is there hatred there? Sure. I mean, and is there some type of racism somewhere that they're fighting against? Sure. But I think a lot of these people, maybe this is wishful thinking on my part, but at least, you know, from what I've seen in the past, when these things happen, and yes, it is, it does seem to be increasing in the past couple of years. But again, there's that, it just happens to coincidentally, of course, you know, no connection whatsoever with the rise in people being shot by the cops, whether it's justified or not, but because, you know, people don't think there's any justice. And of course, people like us, you and I, sure, know that there isn't, that there's, you know, there's a legal system out there. There isn't a justice system. So a lot of these people who, unfortunately, it's so sad because, I mean, you have the people like some of the people here in Milwaukee that are being like just outright violent and the complete, I mean, mob mentality doesn't even begin to describe it, because they're just pouncing on people. And I mean, this has happened in drips and drabs in all these other situations over the years. But it seems to be coming to more and more of a head. And I mean, is it that there's that many people that are just going to start blaming an entire race? I still don't think so. I still think that this is being amped up by a smaller minority of the minority, as it were, I guess. But they, sure, you know, it's like I said, there's just so many people think there isn't a recourse, but unfortunately, they're blaming the wrong people. You know, it's the same thing that happened in Baltimore when everybody was up in arms about the CVS that went on fire and all the other stores that were burned and looted. And yeah, they should have been, because that was wrong. They're like, you know, people are attacking the absolute wrong entity when the problem in almost every one of these situations has been government. You know, whether it's the cops, right, whether it's the laws themselves. So it's misdirected anger, man. It's horrible. And it's the fact that, like you said, it's gotten to this point. I'm not as surprised because, again, I mean, well, I've been around for twice as long, more than twice as long as you. So I'll play my age card here. But I've seen it over the years, and you know, it's unfortunate that people still can't figure out why there's an issue, and all they can think to do is lash out. But then that might be by design too. You know, there's plenty of people amongst the powers that think they be, who live on the, you know, divide and conquer method. So anything you could do to divide and conquer, I'm sure there's some people sitting back right now going, this is great. This is exactly what they want. You know, people, the serfs killing each other so they can roll out.
It's an easy way to be able to take advantage of people if you have them split into groups, right? If you're having white and black people fighting each other, they're not paying attention to what the government's doing. Like, they don't, if they're fighting each other, they don't care what Hillary Clinton is doing or whoever is in charge is up to. It's a nice distraction tactic is what it seems to me.
But I'm thinking eight moves ahead. And I'm wondering if any of these people being killed is a cop who hates another cop in his town and taking him out and making it look like a protester and then having someone else get caught for it. I mean, is there always like... Are there any of these that have happened? I'm sure there's some that have happened without footage of it and without reputable witnesses other than, you know, other cops who would defend their own thin blue line and say what their cop buddy said. Cops kill other cops. It's happened, you know, especially if one of the cops wants to go, you know, out some bad cops. You know, if it's a good cop wanting out some bad cops, you never know.
Yeah, well, they'll...
00101000002.
Well, yes, those individuals would likely become targets, especially if you're talking about most precincts around the country that are corrupt at the core. So it's not even a matter of just a few bad apples here or there. So yeah, if you're in a situation like that, then yes, if you're the guy,
it could also be bad apples who want to take out another bad apple because that other bad apple is honing in on their scam. Or, you know, like, let's say all the cops in a certain town's drug division are stealing money and kilos of coke. You know, they bust someone with 6 kilos of coke. They keep one and turn in five. They have $100,000. They keep $30,000 and turn in 70. That stuff happens all the time. What if there's two competing gangs of cops in the same town, or two cops that are doing that? And, you know, one is muscling in on the other's dirty territory. He'd have reason to take him out. Yeah.
Sure.
002.
Well, you would, well, at least the stories that I've come across in those situations, it's usually because either one or both of the, or whoever, however many of the cops in question always seem to think that they know exactly how to get away with these things because, you know, we're the law and we're trained how to do this. And they usually do some of the dumbest stuff when it comes to these things. They're not very smart about it. But then again, because they don't have to, there's not the fear of getting caught necessarily because, well, even if they do get caught, who's going to investigate them? Other cops. And there's a good chance they're going to get away with it or get a slap on the wrist. Like, what was that story I just heard the other day? One of the, what I think was a murder by a cop, which they still claim wasn't. I can't remember which one, but within the last year or two, the cop finally got, I think he lost his job, but no charges were filed against him. And it's like...
Well, all zeros is a key. It's a weak key, but it is a key. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, putting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your luggage. But that's a whole nother story. I don't know
why. Or have you seen those TSA backdoor locks that are approved for luggage now?
I avoid the TSA like the plague, so no, I have
not. Like if you, when you fly, if you lock something, they'll cut the lock off it. They'll break the handle. They'll break your luggage. But
I've heard about that, yes.
TSA-approved locks. They're little combination locks that, you know, you could break with a hammer easy, but they have the key for. They have the back door. The TSA wants to get in your back door. That's what the purple gloves are about, too. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. 002.
Anyway.
If I'm ever found dead of a car crash or a drug overdose or a suicide, there was a government agency behind it.
Look for the purple gloves. Is that what you're telling us?
000012.
I'd actually heard about that happening, and actually now that I come to think about it, I think the last time I flew, I happened to borrow a suitcase from somebody that had one of those like little, like tiny, ridiculous padlocks on it, which I think I engaged without even thinking about it. And yeah, when it came back, they were all busted up and gone, and I was like, oh. Yeah, they really do want to rifle through your stuff. And the sad thing is if that hadn't been, they probably wouldn't have bothered with my thing. But anybody who does lock it, I guess they assume that somebody is trying to hide something. So, oh, here's a perfect one. We have to get into this now. So don't anybody bother to lock anything.
Nobody stole my silver bullet when I brought it through TSA. I put it on my carry-on, or not my carry-on, but my check baggage.
They didn't. Oh, nice.
You mean like your $22 beer? Or you mean silver. Oh. But it's not it's not like a loaded, it's the end of a bullet, the whole bullet with the charge.
Yeah, it's like shaped in the form of a case or a cartridge, but it's
Doesn't
not
Tim
actually.
Make those? Tim made those, right?
That's who I got it from.
Tim rocks, man.
Listen, I take exception with that silver bullet comment because the silver bullet is not a beer. It's water, it's beer flavored water.
Just like the band named after it, run by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. They're beer flavored water.
There you go.
Although, dude, run it against the wind. You just got to, like, weep and face the flag and face the Mecca of Washington, D.C. And put your hand on your heart.
Yes. That is a very beautiful song. But, so
turn the page, too. He had two good songs.
Spooky. I like that one, but I actually, Metallica did a cover of that I actually like better.
Yeah, I could see that. It was, back when they were good, before they sued their fans.
I think that was actually after they went. I'm pretty sure that was one of the albums that came out after they went bad, but they did good with that song. They did a good cover of it. But yeah, so you okay over there?
You sound like you need a drink there.
Speaking I probably drinks, do.
You sound parched.
I am actually a little parched now that you mention it. I've had my Gatorade sitting next to me, but I've kind of been ignoring it.
The International Data Encryption Algorithm, or IDEA, originally used a key of all zeros. That's weak sauce, man. Weak. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, is that one of those things? Is that like one of those things that people maybe wouldn't expect it to be so ridiculous?
Yeah, that's simple? What I'm thinking. Like hiding in plain sight, kind of, what is it? Encryption by obfuscation? Whatever that word is. Yeah. Yeah.
Arms.
Like Nick and his yak.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
And we're back. I don't even know how we got to where we got before, but we were talking about the situation in Milwaukee. And one of the things about it was among those videos I came across, there is one which kind of goes to my earlier point about, you know, these folks being wrong, mad at the wrong people. There was this video of this black gentleman who, you know, looked like it to be in his, you know, early to mid 20s, very calmly talking to a reporter and telling them, you know, what the problem is and why everybody's so upset. And he just pretty much flat out said that, you know, the rich people aren't helping the black folks. And, you know, they're not giving them any money. They're not giving them any help. It's like, there's just, you know, this vague term, the rich people.
And what about the rich black folks?
Well, he doesn't specify. And of course, you know, I'm sure he doesn't see at least some of them in the same light as the rich people he's referring to, because that's the prevailing attitude here. It's always,
I kind of do too. You know, I'm a capitalist, but I think you can be a millionaire without selling your soul. I don't think you can be a billionaire with a B without selling your soul. I really don't. And I think that it's true what Jim Goode said, that the white man and the black man working together on the line in the factory, the white man has more in common with his black coworker than the white man has with the white owner of the factory.
That is in most cases, that's probably true.
Hey, check your email,
true.
Guys. I just sent you. We can't say what this is on the air, but I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's what I'm sending Lou for his table at the Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival that won't be true, but it'll be funny, but it'll eventually be true. Maybe a few down the road. Do you see it?
Yes, I see it. Very nice.
Can't mention it.
I won't say anything.
I can't open it right now.
Okay. That's retarded. I mean, that is slowed down internet. All right, sorry. Go ahead with the false divide of black and white.
You threw me off now. I forget where I was going. So the rich people. So it's just this, but again, it's just these, you know, terms that they, well, actually, you talked about the billionaire thing. I think that's true to some extent, although these days with inflation, it's a lot, you know, you can get up to be a billionaire and not what a billionaire used to be. So maybe some of those guys.
I think the arbitrary cutoff rate is somewhere around 20 million. I think there are people with souls who have about 20 million. I think most people over 20 million don't have souls anymore.
I don't know. I'd have to see some research on that before I can pass judgment.
Hi, sorry to bother you in your mansion at dinner time, but do you have a soul? Yes or no?
Exactly. You know,
I'm gonna do that.
There's a new project.
Call Dick Cheney first thing in the morning and ask him if he has a soul.
I think we all know the answer to that one already.
Okay, but, yeah. Sorry.
So. I think that whether they have a soul or not, I don't know. But I can say for sure that anybody that's above probably even that 20 million number that you're talking about has had some serious help from the government in some shape, form, or fashion. So they're not. They haven't really, quote Obama, they didn't build that. So they got a lot of help along the way. And things like that would not exist in LibPair, because how does any one person, any one company get that big if they don't have somebody else to run to steal money for, to give to them in the form of subsidies, bailouts, favorable regulations, competition stifling laws, you know, like all that stuff. Like, how does anybody get that big? I don't think it's possible. So it's all the fault of the state, man.
Worms.
But back to this particular situation in Wisconsin. It's just the guy, like I said, the one guy was just, it's the rich people and not helping. It's like, man, there's this thing. Just like when people, all the corporations, you realize like an LLC is a corporation too, right?
It's not technically. C stands for company. Most people think it stands for corporation. Well, it stands for company, but it acts as a corporation in most ways.
You're okay. You're right about that.
For individuals generally, or small companies.
Thank you for that clarification.
00012.
There's other ones that are like that. But the point is, people just get mad at this collective idea because that's all the info. They're given a little bit of information, they run with it. So think, people. Think a little bit before you start just beating up white people. I mean, okay, I get it. A lot of us are weird, but
speak for yourself. 00012.
Oh. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Woof. Who's got the intro? Me? You? Somebody?
I totally forgot that this was the hour.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Abuse Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So,
we have two more days to make those mistakes. Still have amateur status.
There you go. So we're back for the second hour, apparently. This is Jeremy. I'm here with Nick. I don't know where Michael went. He's off doing hash or something along those lines. But we were talking during the break about the dreaded pod fade, which apparently both of us are suffering the early effects of at the present moment. So what do you got going on, man? What's up with that? You've been I thought you were kicking butt for a while and having regular shows come out. What's going on?
No, I completely pod faded at this point. I've stopped producing shows, which is unfortunate. I have a bunch banked, but it's just so much going on with the farm, and I'm just not organized. So I just decided that I have to put the podcasting on the back burner. But it's disappointing. Kind of don't like that I'm not producing any of the content, but I'm making money, and that's what I got to do right now during the summer. It's market season, and I got to do all the work on the farm right now. So that's just where I'm at with that. But I'm definitely missing it. I haven't even been on the Fiends. This is my break of silence for like 3 weeks here.
Wow,
it's great to be on.
Yeah. Well. Oh yeah. You're saying you've been pretty much disconnected from the internet altogether during that time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I used to only really go on Facebook just to post my show links and to say, hey, I'm on the Freedom Fiends tonight. So I'd go through my Facebook wall and I'd get to find at least something going on. But most of the time, I might skim through, check my notifications real quick, and then get off.
Well, that's probably the safest thing to do.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hadn't experienced that at all until we were up at Porkfest. I didn't I was one of the people who didn't have internet service for the most part all week, and it was nice. You know, the first couple of days was like harrowing for me because I'm used to being there all the time, because I'm on top of posting stuff for the Seeds of Liberty page. I'm also supposed to monitor some of that stuff. And admin, I have like admin status on like a bunch of pages that I'm supposed to check in on. So like I get caught up so easily. So
flat earthers away.
Yeah. So it's so the first day or two was kind of weird for me, but then I was like, this is nice. But then of course, as soon as I came home, I went right back to it. But I mean, I can understand you having to prioritize things, although it is a little disheartening to me because I don't know. I mean, since you haven't been on, I don't know if you heard, but a couple of weeks ago, I announced that it's looking pretty much that I'm headed to start my own farm, hopefully within the next year or so.
Ooh.
And yeah, cool. But it's kind of, yeah, it's well, because you and I had talked about it. What was that?
Go ahead. No, go
no,
ahead.
No, I was just saying,
it's the work.
Yeah, well, no, first of all, it was a little disheartening to hear, you know, that you had to prioritize because of the farm. I'm like, oh, am I going to have to do that? I was also going to say that because you and I had talked about this previously, about, you know, when I was questioning you about yaks and stuff and the idea of reindeer had come up. And I'd kind of like I hadn't set my mind on it that I wasn't definitely dead set on reindeer, but it was kind of like that was what I was looking to do. But I found somebody to partner up with who wants to be in preferably to be in Ohio, only because that's where all the groundwork has already been laid. And there's some ridiculously fertile land there for, you know, you can grow pretty much anything there, which is great. But there was going to be livestock involved anyway. And apparently I learned that there are three people in Ohio currently raising reindeer. So it's possible. You just have to work a little harder in the summer to keep them cool. But I may switch to bison. Okay. I don't know. That's not really, but yeah, it's just funny you said that because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm trying to head to a farm. Am I going to have to give up my shows? Because we haven't, the seeds hasn't completely pod faded. But we've been having a lot of issues lately. pretty much since Porkfest, because I went up there and that meant I wasn't there for a show that week because I was busy doing Fiend shows and then the Dawn of Freedom with you. So I wasn't available. And they did a show while I was gone, but since I usually edit the shows, it just sat there waiting for me to come back. So by the time I came back at a week, you know, we missed 1 week, and then the week that I was back, I was like, well, listen, we were having some issues here because everything fell apart when I was gone. This isn't good. I don't make any money for this. I love doing this. I mean, I love doing the Fiends too. And lately I love doing the Fiends more because I don't have to put in the extra work, except for the editing stuff that I do on Tuesday nights. But that's something I volunteered to do, so I don't mind that at all. But, you know, it's like I said to the guys, I'm like, all right, we need to have like a, maybe we shouldn't do a show this week. Maybe I'll just put out your show from last week this coming week and we'll just have a sit down talk and try to get like, because I actually brought up pod fading. I said, I don't want to, like, we've all worked really hard at this. We've been at this for over a year now. We have a following, you know, we have fans all over the world now, because, you know, you see the numbers and we keep getting all these hits and all these downloads from, like, you know, all over the place. And, you know, I used to joke about it, but I actually can now. I can list at least half a dozen to maybe 10 now people that have come to me or us as a group and said that we were essentially their red pill. Which is kind of freaky. Like to this day, it's still kind of cool. Like, I don't believe people when they tell me that. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm an idiot. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. What are you? So
I convinced you of anarchism.
Exactly. What the heck do I know?
An anarchist.
You need to work. You need to work on your leaders. Critical. You want to follow, man? I don't know. critical thinking. Definitely not there. but we put this work in. So I was like, guys, we got to do something. So all right, we're gonna sit down, we're gonna be serious about this. And all they wanted to do was ask me questions about Porkfest. So we never actually got anything during that time frame that we sat down together. And then we just went back to it, like, and then we did a couple of a show or two, and then Danilo has been gone for I don't know, a month and a half now, I think, at least. Because there was 2 weeks in a row that we knew he was going to have to miss because his wife was out of town for work, which meant he had the kids like 24/7. So he just could not do a show, which was, you know, understandable. That happens every once in a while with him, but we knew it ahead of time. So I took the opportunity the first time around. I said, all right, Dave, this is what we're going to do. We're going to use Fiendphone finally, since Danilo's not here and we don't have to worry about him and his stupid Mac that he can't use Fiendphone with us. So we did it. And I think, was that the one? I don't remember. I know we had Diana on 1 week, and then we had Chandler and Lisa on another week. Mm-hmm. And everything went pretty good. And then Danilo was ready to come back, and I was like, well, do you have Fiendphone installed? Because Chandler set him up with a virtual machine on his computer. Yeah, but it doesn't work. So he hasn't bothered to put in the effort. I mean, he's the one I had to call out on the air a couple of weeks ago for telling me that, you know, he appreciated my enthusiasm, but unfortunately, superior audio quality was not high on his list of priorities in life. And I told him I wanted to punch him through the phone when he said that to me. I was like, do you know who I work for? Do you know what I've gone through for the past couple of months? Do you know how much money I just sank into equipment so I could get us to sound better? And this is what you tell me? So
your name on Fiendphone is Audio Nazi in Training.
That's correct.
Nazi. You know what the ironic thing is? A lot of people go out and buy this horrible microphone called the Yeti that looks like, you know, it's supposed to look old timey. It looks like the ribbon mic that like Tokyo Rose used or something, but it's a cheap inside of it. It's a really cheap condenser mics that are like way too sensitive. And it's too far away from your mouth. It's like a desk microphone. It picks up all the noise of you tapping your desk and your computer fan. And it's like, there's not really an easy way to mount it on a mic stand to get it in front of your mouth where it needs to be. And nobody does that. People get it and they're like, oh, I got this really cool looking mic for, I don't know, I think they're $140 or something. Anybody know? I know they're way more than mics we're using and way worse.
I'm pretty sure it's at least 100 because I just went through that with one of my friends who I told him not. He asked me about it beforehand. I'm like, don't buy the Yeti. Buy one of the, I'm like, if you want to spend a lot of money, buy one of even the better Audio Technicas. I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't buy the, and he went ahead and bought it anyway. And I got to hear it because he came on our show last week.
Yeah.
And yeah, it did. It picked
$124.
Up. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So literally, you could buy the great mics we're using.
You could buy two of them. Used,
no, you could buy one of these and a used Windows computer to run it on. Like if you're one of these people who are like, oh, I'm on a Mac. I have to use Mac. Make Fiendphone for Mac. And I'm like, okay, for the price you spent on your crappy mic you're using on your Mac, you could have bought, you know, a $70 used Windows computer on Amazon or eBay and be running Fiendphone with a good mic that's up in front of your mouth, man. But no, you wanted this thing that looks like a robot penis crossed with Tokyo Rose's mic. Yeah.
There's the news. There's the new tagline for that thing.
Robot penis crossed with Tokyo Rose. Yeah.
It really is bad, too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I believed you because I've always heard you talk about it, but I got to hear where it was picking up the computer fan. So every time he was silent, there was the background noise. It was infuriating because I couldn't get it out. So I just cut out as much as I could. But yeah, so but before you came in, we were talking about pod fading, you know.
Oh, well, a good way to do that is to get a Yeti mic. Pod fading, did you define it yet?
Oh, no. I don't think
we actually did.
It's when you start a podcast and you're all psyched about it, and within a couple months, you're doing it less and less, and then you stop doing it.
Yeah. Or like Nick and I, you do it a year plus after the fact, so.
Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all
day? Sick of stalking your ex on
Facebook? Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah.
nights.
What's that band everyone hates?
Nickelback.
Yeah, I was gonna say Coldplay, but Nickelback. Oh,
that, that might actually.
Yeah, and who's the like pop singer that everyone hates? That Justin Bieber. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at I'm looking on Amazon at the USB mic I recommend, which is the Audio Technica 2005 USB and a couple other Audio Technica mics, and they are in the same general ranking under the musical instruments category on Amazon. They are at 1,529, and they're a great mic. The Yeti, which is a horrible mic, is number 47 in musical instruments. It's way better of a seller, but you know what? Think of whoever your favorite band is, and I'll bet both Coldplay and Justin Bieber sell far more albums than your favorite band. So popularity doesn't mean good, people.
This is very true.
People love Hillary Clinton and Trump. I mean, a lot of people hate them, but a lot more people like them than like me. And I'm nicer. I'm better. All right. That's all I got to say. Talk about beasts.
Beasts.
Worms. Not beast worms.
Beast worms. There's a nightmare don't maker for those. You.
Yeah.
001 worm 2.
Is that the name of the episode tonight, Michael?
It just might just be code. Bender's nightmare. Yeah.
There you go. So during the break,
but we were talking farm stuff. You brought up last segment that you were thinking about, or that you're pretty much moving in on starting up a farm. You might do reindeer or buffalo, but yeah, we were talking about it over the break, and I just love it to hear when people are getting interested in agriculture, and especially starting their own business with agriculture, because that's what I'm doing. So I'm excited to hear that you're doing something different. And something, raising an animal that's not regulated by the USDA, like reindeer or buffalo or yak or emu or something like that. So, yeah, tell us more about what you're planning.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it's I originally was just gonna do, you know, just do the reindeer farm and pretty much, you know, do the meat and also rent them out for all the Christmas party stuff and the, you know, all the year-round stuff that people use them for. But now it's like, but originally, before you had put the idea of reindeer in my head, like years ago when I thought of doing farming, I was just going to do straight, you know, just producing, you know, food. That was my only, and maybe have some like chickens running around and like maybe a couple, like, you know, for the kids type of thing, you know, or for the chickens, for the, you know, for their eggs, but like pretty much everything else is like maybe a goat or a pig or something, like, but nothing, like, I never really thought that far ahead. But now it's like, after, you know, after getting to know you and listening to you talk about your story and, you know, what, and also meeting other people and talking to other people and this, and my friend too. And it was just basically, once we talked about it, it was like, well, yeah, you could do, I mean, you could go kind of large scale with like the permaculture type stuff that Jack Spirico does and whatever it is that what is the method that Salatin doesn't do? Does he do permaculture too? Or does he do something different?
Like polyculture, I think.
Yeah, it's something a little different. Yeah, yeah. But you could do stuff like, you know, you could do that large scale stuff like that. But you have to do that to be able to sustain yourself, because you can't really get by, you know, especially depending on how big of a lot of, you know, plot of land you have, with just producing a little, you know, a little about it stuff just to feed yourself and your family. Like, you're not going to get very far. So, you know, you actually have to put a lot of effort in. But where the money is usually in the animals, because you can do lots of, you know, all the meats and stuff like that and everything you could do with them. So that's where I started shifting gears. And then when my friend and I started talking about this, it was like, well, we can do both, you know, just smaller scale on the food side and just rely more on the, you know, whichever animal we end up choosing, which makes, for me, works perfectly, because it makes perfect sense, because that's kind of how I operate my business currently. Like, I've always had my, you know, the dog walks that I do, that's pretty much I've always considered that my paycheck. And then the other stuff that I do on the side is just been a bonus. I mean, it's been a very nice bonus, but so I'm going into it looking at it from that perspective. And you know, again, the current destination, hopefully, this is obviously going to depend also on my ex and if she's willing to follow there, because she's stated that she does want to get out of New York, but she's not. I haven't sold her on Ohio yet, so I got to work on that. But I hear some music, so I may have to continue this when we get back.
Yes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar Hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
Reindeer.
Have you ever had reindeer meat?
No, I haven't. But you had told me originally that it was supposed to be even tastier. And I've come with everybody else I've come with who I've talked to about says the same thing. It's leaner and even more delicious than regular venison, which to me just sounds like heaven because I love venison to begin with. I don't get it that often, but sure. If I decide, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh no!
I was just gonna say.
Go, Nick. Go.
This is the Free Fiend Phone. Unexpected interruption exigency system, or I can't spell furries. It's Fiend Phone unnecessary random reeducation interruption system or service.
Excellent.
Man, I like those crickets. I want to come to your house. No homo. All right. You guys were just yammering and stammering. So I came into, it's part of the test is Nick going to truly be a radio adult on Tuesday? If I can sidetrack him 8 times an hour and have him still do a show. Okay. Have a great show. I'm going back to the one looking for the two and the zeros and ones. Worms.
Worms. Thank you, Michael.
All righty. Well, I was going to say reindeer meat. My hypothesis, my guess would be that since they're adapted to those colder climates and the higher latitudes, that they probably have a different fat makeup in the meat. And I would be curious to know, and I just would guess is that they marble differently than a regular deer would, because the cold... they would develop the fat on the outside of the meat rather than throughout it like most animals do. And I don't know about venison if it does that as well, but yaks definitely develop more of their fat on the outside. So I bet the nutritional aspects are very similar to other colder climate adapted animals. So I'd be interested to taste it. I've heard of it. I've heard it's tasted really well. But I don't see it very often, so
yeah,
I'd love to try it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I can't seem to find it too many places either. But like I said, there are three people. There's three farms in Ohio that are raising them, and they have one of them has a whole website dedicated to what they go through in order to keep these things surviving in a less than ideal environment. So, you know, like I said, well, once I found out that was possible, I was like, wow, really? I could still do that? That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, I'm also not completely wedded to the idea. So if it has to be bison, it'll be bison. But that's, you know, but what you're saying about the whole with the, you know, the meat being marbled differently. So that makes complete sense to me that it would be, especially if it's, if the fat's on the outside of it and then you cook it, it would definitely be juicier. Yeah. So it would totally make sense. So yeah, so that's the plan right now. I think the only other thing that we've completely settled on is both of us have an affinity for mushrooms, and we want to try to grow those, which my buddy Dave is actually, I think he's still trying to do down in Bama.
Oysters?
I know. I don't remember which one he was doing, but he had found there was a complete like opening in the market down there. Like there was where he's from in Bama, there's only like one, like literally one other person servicing like this gigantic area. And he went and talked to the guy. He's like, yeah, I can't keep up. So he was like more than happy to accept competition, you know, somebody else out there. So I know he started doing that, but then he got into the microgreens too, which is something I still don't know enough about that. I've come across a couple of people that are doing them, but I want to learn more about that too. Because that seems to be something
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, at least if you're willing to do just that, or at least mostly just that, it can be pretty profitable. I mean, the numbers that he was running by me when he, you know, when he was trying to figure out exactly how he was going to do it were pretty impressive for just harvesting microgreens on a regular basis. But that's the thing. There's so like, I don't know. I mean, some people kind of look at me weird when I say that I want to transition from, you know, living in the suburbs here in Long Island for, gosh, how many years have I been here? Way too long. 22 years, I think. And running my own, you know, business and staying at, you know, working out of my house half the time to just pick up and leave. And I'm like, oh, there's so many opportunities though. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I've always had this idea just in the back of my mind, but it was always kind of like, that's where I want to retire to. Like, I want to retire to a smaller, medium-sized farm that I could hopefully work a little bit and then get people to help me. And just like, that's how I want to live out my days type of thing. Like, I could totally, like, I've always just seen myself like in that situation. But now here the opportunity arises where I'm still not quite yet 40. I'm almost there, but I'm still young enough that I can, this is a realistic opportunity for me to completely switch gears right now. And I don't see why not. Like, I can't, other than, I mean, you know, like I said, hopefully my ex doesn't hold me up on this, although she seems to be willing to work something out, which will be good. But, you know, it's a realistic opportunity, and it's, yeah, will it be some hard work? As you know, sure. But there's so many opportunities between growing different vegetables. I mean, if you want to grow grains, if you want to raise different animals, even if you want to do just a little bit of everything, there's just so much out there.
Slaves.
You could do that too. I'm sure there's a market for that. But there's so many... Yeah, but there's so many ways that you can not just, you know, have a nice, happy life, but like make some money at it while you're at it too. Like, there's just so many opportunities. And I mean, yeah, if you get into reindeer or bison or stuff like that, or yak or things that are, you don't have to deal with the FDA, it's one less step away from government. But in general, I mean, yeah, depending on which state you're in, there's regulations you're going to deal with, but it's an opportunity to live a lot freer than being tied down to some corporate job that you have to deal with even more of government on a regular basis because you're there in the midst of everybody else. Why not get out on a farm and just, you know, what was I said the last time we talked about this show? Get off my farm and just leave me the heck alone. Like, that's my attitude. Like, I just, government, I don't care. I mean, that's the one thing. I know when I first brought up Ohio, Michael was like, why Ohio? He wanted me to come to Wyoming, but there, I live in New York. So pretty much anything as far as laws that I would have to deal with is better than where I am now.
It's gonna be better, yeah.
And yeah. Ohio, the one thing it has really going for it, a really big thing, is they're really good on the homeschooling, unschooling stuff. They leave people alone for the most part, which is excellent because my going there is contingent on my kids being able to follow with me and, you know, at least stay with me part time. And that's a huge deal for us because we were planning on unschooling them since, well, homeschooling them since before they were born and then unschooling them since I came across that a couple of years ago. So that's huge. The gun laws are much, I mean, they still suck, but they're a heck of a lot better than the ones in New York. And for the most part, the farmers seem to get left alone, you know, as long as you don't cause any trouble, you can fly under the radar and they don't bug you. So to me, it seems like a perfect opportunity. Plus the fertile land out there for growing whatever we want to grow on top of that. Just sounds like a win-win to me.
I actually know a few libertarian farmers in Ohio. I know like three. And they're,
oh, yeah?
There's a decent amount of people doing some cool agricultural things. Yeah, shout out to Drew Sample and Nick Van Riper. I can't remember. I think Nick's working at Green City Acres there in Cincinnati, and Drew's doing his own thing.
Okay.
It's a good spot from what I know, from what I've heard. They find ways to make money and doesn't seem like they get harassed too much. Of course, if you're doing microgreens and produce and urban farming, you don't get too much unless you're living in what do you call those? The HUAs or home owners associations? HOAs.
Oh yeah, yeah. HOAs.
Those
guys
suck.
yeah, I had one of those in California. That's for like. It's really like a social contract because you sign the agreement when you buy the house in that area and people say, oh, it's voluntary, but it's a contract that can change over time. It's like for people who don't have enough government in their life, you know, you've got like the UN, your federal government, your state government, your local government, and you're like, that's just not enough government. I want someone to rip out the flowers I plant in front of the house I own. When I don't get permission in writing, the reason we moved. What?
They want to tell you what are the appropriate colors to paint your house?
Yeah. All that type of stuff. We couldn't. No, they painted our house. We paid a homeowner's fee, HOA fee, and they painted it, and all the houses look exactly the same, which has led to us moving to Wyoming in a way. Two things. Okay, someone tried to break into the house while I was there. I was sick. My wife was at the store getting NyQuil for me. Someone tried to break in the house. I went out and confronted him with a stun gun in one hand and a telephone in the other hand. It was a like 50-year-old, 50-plus Mexican dude, looked like a day laborer, dressed like it, smelled like alcohol from 20 feet away. I told him to get lost. He got lost. I called the police. This is back when I did that. They actually got there pretty quick. They actually caught him. I ID'd him. And he still had the stick in his pocket that he was trying to pry the window open with. Now, this is not a criminal mastermind, okay? You're in a place with a lot of trees. You pick up something on the ground that looks like everything else on the ground to use as a burglary tool, and you keep it in your pocket when you run away. That is not a criminal mastermind. It turns out, I found out that there was a house that was identical to ours, like four houses over, that the landlord was renting out to about 30 day laborers. And we're pretty sure this was one of them. You know, he wasn't trying to break into my house. He didn't have a key.
He was trying to break into his own house.
yeah, basically. But, so we tried to get... we went and bought a shotgun the next day, and that led us to buying more guns and realizing, wow, we can't leave the house with these in California, you know, unless they're locked in a box in the trunk, separate from the locked box with the ammo to go to the range. And we also tried to get them, we wanted to put up a motion sensor light, and they wouldn't let us. And we took 9 months trying to get them to let us, and by then we were moving to Wyoming. So thank you, fascists, for getting me out of California. Neighborhood fascists.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Us, isn't it?
I guess.
I'm back for the final segment. Yeah. So, well, this is normally the place where we look for redemption, but we've been talking redemption all night, so this has been a good show. Much a happier show than normal. Yeah. which is good.
Normally when rough there, but
yeah, it's all right.
Reindeer but make it all better.
Well, I guess to continue the redemption, it's just, you know, like I said, I really wish more people would consider getting out and doing this stuff, because there's opportunities abound, and even if, I don't know, I mean, I've been saying it for a long time, that even if you just, I don't know, find a way to plant a small garden where you are, just get started small, do any of this stuff, anything you can do to make yourself freer from the state. Right now is a good thing, even if you're not totally on board with the whole anarchy voluntarism thing, whatever, you know, like, don't I mean, at least most people I know, even the most heavily indoctrinated ones, on some level wanna, you know, they wanna be responsible for most of the things in their life. You know, they think they want to have a say in things. It doesn't work out that way when they hand a lot of their lives over to government. But in general, most people want to, you know, have some kind of say. So why not have a say that way? Why not be, you know, less oppressed, less whatever, you know, just be more free, growing your own food. Heck, if you have a little plot of land, get some chickens. Anything like that, you know. You don't have to go full scale farmer like I'm trying to do, but although that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
No, it won't. Are you familiar with the Freedom Umbrella of Direct Action?
The FUDA. I feel I've heard that term, but I don't know exactly. Why don't? Would you care to enlighten me and the rest of us?
I will. Yeah, my buddy Shane Radliff there at Liberty Under Attack on the Freedom Phalanx Radio Network, he and Kyle Reardon of Last Bastille blog they put together this list of all these things you could do, direct action things, not politics, not, I can't think of anything that's not direct action, I guess, other than politics, but the idea is that you can get out and do your own thing and get liberty in your lifetime by doing these things. And a big one on there, at least in my opinion, and for me, and obviously for you now too, is growing your own food, and of course starting a business is on there too, entrepreneurship, right? These things will lead to some great opportunities for you. Like for me, running a farm and running my own business has been amazing, right? Getting out of school, the contrast between that and school is amazing. And I definitely got to say that if you want freedom, farming, at least gardening, is not a bad way to get it.
Oh, sure. I mean, even last year when I just grew some tomatoes in my backyard with my kids, like there's, I don't know, I guess I'm sure there's people that would be not so thrilled or impressed by that. But like, I don't know, there's just something about like when you actually bite into something that you had a hand in growing, which I guess the same thing. I mean, I haven't actually raised and slaughtered any of my own meat yet, but I'm sure the same thing goes for that. Like, you know, if you, all that work you put into it and that, like, there's, you know, it's the same thing you hear, like, a lot of like the big name hunters, I know that they talk about it, you know, that when people always try to bash them and say, oh, you just want, you know, you don't care, you just want to kill the animal. And so it was like, no, like I'm at peace with this because I know I'm doing it, you know, ethically and whatever, but it's like the same thing. It's like when you have a hand in doing it, there's this extra added, like, I guess almost pride in it, you know, like I had something to do with this. And I don't know, those tomatoes, for whatever they were, they tasted better.
Yeah. When we have to put Nick down and we do it with our own hands. Oh, wait, are you talking about food or putting animals down?
Wait a minute. I thought we were just firing them. Now we're putting them down. You know what?
Baby, I'm going to have to put you down for a while.
I know Oregon's pretty progressive, but I think they may have some issues with this.
Yeah, well, they have abortion up to the 72nd trimester, right?
I don't know. Is that covered? I have no math. I can't math. You've been doing math all night. Yeah. Is that enough? The 72 trimester is enough?
The 54th trimester. 54.
Oh, there you go. Oh, wow.
Fun with calculators on the radio. Nick, happy birthday if I don't see you before Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, Nick. Yeah. Well, I don't know what your birthday is, but have a good one anyway.
Worms.